dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox.
Hello out there, SVC fans, and welcome once again to SVC Sports Talk. This is our show 152, episode 152, brought to you as it always is by the Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe. I am Bruce Knox of DBK Media Services, and the gentleman sitting right over there across the table from me is the soothsayer of SVC Sports, Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how are you this evening?
Doing really, really well. A fun time of year here. The weather starts to change, get a little tournament feel, and baseball right around the corner. Get a lot of different sports things going on here, and it's a good time.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. Pretty much basketball at this point in time that we're going to talk about. We'll talk a little wrestling as well here. And last week we put out the official all SVC selections following your release of your show last week. And what's been your feedback on some of that over the past week? I'm sure you've had a lot of conversations about that over the week.
Yeah, really, really good discussion, not just on our website, All League Selections, but then the official list as well coming out. I think probably in terms of the show, Bruce, the honorary member comment, if people haven't had a chance to listen, they can always go back on your great website there and see the link. And I think that people kind of like the idea of honoring those kids that maybe miss for reasons out of their control, such as a serious injury or something like that. And what that does is it helps honor kids playing the full season. Others think maybe there was some negative feedback on that. Others think that it opens up a can of worms because they think maybe coaches will abuse it, maybe water down the teams, using it for for kids that maybe aren't of that status. I think that comment's fair. I guess my response to that, Bruce, would be we just have to trust coaches. Again, we're asked to do a lot, and the coaches know that going in. That's fine. But and trade-off, I guess, is as I kind of was going on last week, just let us as basketball coaches make the decisions that are going to directly influence our lives, both professionally and personally, and some of our relationships with these kids that give an incredible effort. I guess the other thing that comes out is there's always a natural comparison. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime I do this a few days earlier than the official list, once the official list comes out, I guess it's just human nature to you have one here and you have one here and you compare them. Sure. The coaches seem to maybe spread the wealth across all the teams, where I had a little bit more Uniota feel, as one person said at their comment to me, a little Uniota bias.
Yeah.
I respectfully said no, no Uniota bias, just simply naming the starters on the team that won the league by a lot. simply naming the starters on a team that won the back half of a gold ball after they lost their best player.
Yeah.
So that's just the way I felt. Hosley and Swackhammer and Kennedy Wheeler, those kids to me, no-brainer in terms of being top 15 players. And anyone that says they're not, you have to agree to disagree. The one thing, I was surprised to hear a couple people. I had two, three different people question, maybe Hosley being first team. They asked, was that a result of, Cottrell being out? And, I think it goes back to, and on the website, maybe we need to do a better job of this on SVC Sports Talk. We certainly highlight points. We certainly highlight a lot of different things. That's just the way it kind of works in terms of writing articles and making a box score. But the Hosley kid, Bruce, is one of those unique kids that that can just completely take a game over without scoring a basket. I mean, he's phenomenal. He can defend, he can rebound, he runs the floor. He's an athlete like unlike anybody in our league here in recent history. I mean, you'll see him guard Swingle one night and then Mowry the next. He's that type of defender. I mean, he's tremendous. The other thing that jumped out at me, I know the coaches obviously ended up running into the same tough decision. After watching Dye play in the sectional tournament this week, it really bothered me to have him slip the second team. He's such a terrific player, the lefty guard there at Southeastern. I guess it's just a numbers game. We ran into it on the girls' team, didn't we, Bruce? Yeah. Where, you know, you only have the spots that you have on the first team, and that certainly doesn't take away from the fine season and fine career that young man had. He's terrific. A little disagreement on the Westfall three. Some maybe thought that was too many if Adina wasn't going to get three. Zane Trace not getting a second. I felt like we described that pretty well. It's a really unique situation. I was happy for the McCloskey kid from Huntington on the official list. He's a good kid. He's a good young player. I went a little bit more of the Piketon route. So I mean, for the most part, I think 80-90% match up. You always have that 10%, and then that 10% seems to be what makes for the best discussion. Yeah. I think the coaches spread the wealth across all the teams, where maybe for me, I'm able to look a little bit more directly at the injuries, the suspensions, removal from the team. Gosh, unfortunately, we had an all-league team in itself. You know, you could pretty much take a team of those kids and probably win the league with them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a unique situation.
Well, good to hear that there's some feedback. That's exactly what we want. And then, of course, we've got this what's been a super busy week. I'm sure you logged quite a few hours in the gym this past week with games like Southeastern at Zane Trace, Westfall at Huntington, Adina at Piketon, Paint Valley Eastern Brown, and then the capper last night. We're recording this on Sunday night. Capped off with a highly anticipated game at Unioto against Chillicothe at Southeastern. What are your thoughts after seeing that busy week?
Really, really fun week. I mean, this is one of my really
Christmas
enjoyable times of the year. Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's probably my favorite game was the first one, the Southeastern Zane Trace game going all the way back. I mean, really, really intense. It was your classic third meeting between two SVC schools that play hard-nosed defense. They play really physical. You have great players like Dye and Mowry, and both of them showed up big. Southeastern wins it with a little bit of size advantage there in the post. You see the Mowry incredible career come to an end, and that was kind of a tough, bittersweet moment for just as a basketball fan in general. And
yeah,
you think about the history he was chasing down, but hats off to Southeastern there; they get to move on. Westfall Huntington game didn't have a lot to it, but if you were willing to stick around for the nightcap, because that was a triple header night there at Waverly, you saw the best ending of the tournament so far. Keep in mind, Adina doesn't even play in the sectional championship to win it on Friday night. If Colin Corey doesn't hit a half court shot to beat Piketon there on Monday night, and you had to feel for Piketon, as happy as you were for the Corey kid and just the pure, honest emotion that the Adina kids, obviously displayed after that. I know I tried to get some video from different people. I appreciate that and put it out there for the fans to see it. And gosh, what a terrific moment, but what a time you just kind of feel for the Piketon team and kids, because I felt like they really felt like they had a nice chance to win the game. And they obviously, did win the game for 31,
whatever.
And a bunch of seconds.
The
there,
ultimate thrill seconds of victory and the agony of defeat. There, you've got the old,
no doubt.
Yeah, what was it? Keith Jackson doing the sports mm-hmm. thing there. That's exactly right. We'll keep going. Paint Valley versus Eastern.
Well, yeah. Then, I don't even remember. Did I take Tuesday night off? I think I ended up taking Tuesday night off. And we were back at it on Wednesday night. Paint Valley lose to an Eastern Brown team that went on to win the sectional, which, again, I hated it for Paint Valley because I really felt like after watching Portsmouth on that Wednesday night, the Paint Valley had a good chance to win that bracket. And, the game, Bruce, kind of ended up being Paint Valley's season in a nutshell. They basically were tied with probably about a minute to go, maybe under a minute a little bit, and couldn't get a shot at the basket and ended up falling. Here's a season where the record says disappointment is the one email said a couple weeks ago. But gosh, I mean, it's one of those where I think it was 10 losses ahead or tied in the fourth quarter, and seven or eight of those scenarios was all the way down into the last minute or two of the game, and some overtime games in there, buzzer beater situations. And just it was a team that was really close and just never could get over the hump. So, you know, that takes us to Friday night, and Southeastern gave another good effort. The Valley, the top seed there, Valley team was really, really good. They were just a little too much. So I was able to sneak out of there a little early, take in a little dinner, get the Vinton County game on the radio, go eat some dinner, come back, catch the end of the Vinton County game, and then go back in and get the Westfall Edina game. And man, what a great game. It was probably the most well-played game of the week that I watched. You just have some really talented guard play. Both teams kind of keep the floor spread, so you're playing in a lot of space. And I thought the Edina role players were just terrific. Give Thomas a lot of credit. They were chasing him and his ability to really keep working hard without the ball. Freed those Edina role players up, Preston and the Postage kids, obviously Corey. Isaac Thomas in the middle was terrific, and just a great team win for the Two Shade Blue there as they get a chance to cut down the net. And you know, obviously you feel for Westfall, but this is a team that has certainly put Westfall basketball back on the right trend. And you know, we'll see moving forward. So you know, then that comes to the last game, by far the most anticipated game of the week, where Chillicothe. Yeah, a lot of people were asking, man, the Southeastern, is it big enough to host and all this stuff? You know, heard a lot of different things. You know, I think probably it was. I think you have to understand this was the perfect storm in terms of that type of crowd and anticipation that you had. You have our area's two biggest enrollments. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not only your student body, but just the community and the following. You know, Chillicothe comes back and gets Circleville. Unioto survives a scare with McLean. So this was a game that everybody was anticipating and hoping for. There was no other major event in the area.
Right.
It was local at Southeastern. It was good weather. You know, down at Waverly that night, you had teams out of the area playing. Mm-hmm. You know, if this would have been a night earlier, you'd had three SVC teams playing at Waverly. That type of thing really can sway people different directions. Saw people from just about every school all over the Southeastern gym. And, you know, it was a good game. I don't know that it was quite as passionate of atmosphere. It was certainly an incredible atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Just the pregame atmosphere was nutty to see him lined up and sprinting down the hallway to get a seat. And,
yeah.
And all those things. That was really neat.
I heard did they turn people away?
I was told they eventually did. Both schools sold there a lot of tickets. Then they were lined up out there, and it was my understanding that most of the people that were in line, I'm guessing by 6 o'clock or so, did get in. I do know that there was a few hundred people maybe toward the end that didn't get a chance to get in. I don't know for that number for sure, but that was kind of what I was told. You know, that type of crowd, it was incredible. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it was an amazing atmosphere. I don't know that it had the same passion that this game had at Chillicothe a couple weeks earlier.
Really?
Just from I think you had more people in the gym that night that had a rooting interest of, I'm rooting for this team or I'm rooting for this team. Where in that gym the other night, it was amazing. Don't get me wrong. It was an amazing place to be, but there was a lot of people in the gym that were just there to watch a game, a great game. I thought Unioto played with just a lot more energy, a lot more confidence. Their defense created some scoring opportunities. Give Chillicothe credit. I mean, they just wouldn't go away. They were in that game into the third quarter, down five.
Right.
Even at 45-35, I thought it was funny. A lot of people getting up to go, and they no more got to their car and were probably surprised when they turned on the radio, because all of a sudden Chillicothe gets it to 45-42, and then the Edler free throw, I said, that hit the rim and went up in the air. It was like the ghost of Unioto Pass brought that ball down through the net, and 46-42 at that point was a big, big difference, because if that ball comes off at 45-42, now I don't know, there's probably 40 seconds left.
Yeah.
And it's a one possession game. So, but no, give Unioto credit. Congrats to Coach Hoops and his Unioto squad. Those Division II sectionals are hard to win. There's some good teams there.
One thing I wanted to get in,
Shane, a little housekeeping here. This is going to be our last winter show, I believe, episode 152. So we'll pick up with episode 153. Why don't you kind of talk us through what your thoughts are there for the spring?
Yeah, I think so. I know you're going to give another shout out to Triple Crown Family Fun Center here in a minute with some details. I appreciate what they do. They've given us so much flexibility this year, Bruce. And, you know, and talking to them in our off-season meetings, we felt like our basketball shows and some of our football shows are some of our really followed shows. And they kind of allowed us to play around with that a little bit. But again, one of the things I take a lot of pride in is the coverage that we also give the spring sports. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to just cheat those again, I think that's where we're really unique in the area because we're one of the media outlets that give the spring more coverage than just about anybody. So I still want to be able to do that. And then I certainly give you at DBK Media Services a shout out because I know your donation time beyond our show allotment, and then obviously the sponsorship kind of being flexible to let us go there. If we see the proper time that we need to come back on and cover something, or if we need to do a game or something like that, I know you said you'd give us the flexibility to do that, so I certainly appreciate that.
Sure. We're glad that we can help the SVC out and help SVC Sports zone out here. We enjoy doing what we're doing, so that's the reason we do it. And friend and fans, we do want to thank again our main sponsor, Triple Crown Family Fun Center, which is located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way. They have been with us throughout this deal, and we look forward to continuing to have a great relationship with them. And it's something that you should consider doing is establishing a relationship with Triple Crown because it's a great place for people of all ages, whether it's just a couple going out wanting some fun time, great food. I was looking earlier. I think I want to take advantage of their pickles the next time, the fried pickles next time I'm over there. What was that? The spicy pub pickles. That's got my name all over it. So I want that at the next party that we have of the staff here, Shane. But if you want to give them a call, you can do so at 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. Of course, they've got pizza. They've got everything for all your parties. And if you have any kind of event of a group or whatever, you want to give them a call, they will be able to take care of you. I saw earlier they've got a $30 pizza package. So you just anything they've got. They do have the soccer league still going on, and they've got inflatables for the kids. It's kind of one of those places where maybe the kids can even go off and leave mom and dad to talk and get reacquainted if you need to. They're located right off of Bridge Street just behind the Hampton Inn, and tell them that SVC Sports Zone sent you. So we do appreciate their flexibility this year and just kind of talking with them about what we're doing, and we can't say enough for what they do for us here at SVC Sports Talk. Well, other than SVC boys basketball, what else has been on this week's agenda?
Well, we've had a busy week on social media, tournament time, some of the website discussion on there. I think I stirred up some conversation, to say the least. So we have some scheduling questions, issues. Obviously, Adina and Uniota taking off to the convo now. Have a trio of girls teams in the district. Fast break. I'm going to play a little teacher here and hand out some grades to the SVC throughout the winter and looking back at fall. And then maybe in our post game, maybe we'll get a chance to peek ahead to that spring season that we just mentioned with baseball, softball, maybe even give a shout out to some wrestling and so forth. Should be a lot of fun. I think we have a lot to get to.
Well, Shane mentioned it earlier. He stirred up a hornet's nest this week on social media. And so we'll find out what that entails when we come back right after this. Well, as I mentioned, you seem to have stirred up some passion, I will say, this week when Shane posted on his Facebook about a topic that got about 100 people kind of stirred up and commenting and liking your comments
and several had comments of their own. So why don't you kind of fill us in on what that was regarding?
Yeah, I don't, you know, a lot of times I think with when I come across something that's a little bit controversial or whatever, I have a tendency, it's just my nature to always try to look at it, look at both sides of it, try to figure out, okay, well, why was certain things this way? Or, you know, a lot of times too, what happens, because people who know me know that's my personality, if there is something that kind of sets me off and I do become a little bit more blunt in my presentation, that probably makes people kind of look at it a second time. This was a situation from Friday night, and I really threw the SVC fans for a curve, because, you know, they couldn't figure out exactly what gym, and I guess maybe I should, if I'm going to say this, I should have just said the school. Yeah. I'm not going to say the school tonight, to be honest.
Okay.
People out there probably know, but that wasn't my intention. My intention wasn't to call a particular school out as much as it was to call out the policy in the way that we need to handle this as a Southeast District Board or so forth. It's basically about cutting down nets after winning sectional championships. I know here a couple of years ago, they started throwing out, 5-6 years ago, they started throwing out this thing, well, we don't know if we're going to do that as much anymore. And they started giving out these ridiculous reasons why they weren't going to. Well, most of the schools out there basically just disregarded it and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this, 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 and this. And it's kind of still worked. You know, the net cutting thing is such a cool thing. And I think as a host school, not to cut down the nets is just a really unfortunate thing. You know, you're playing a team sport, and we preach team all the time. And in today's time, we do honor a lot of individuals, as I said earlier. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying this kid was the leading scorer. This kid is first team all league. This kid's second team all league. I know that makes people uncomfortable sometimes, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But in this particular situation, you're winning a team championship, and the net is a celebration where not only your best player, Bruce, gets up on the ladder to cut it down, your second best player and your third best player, and every single player gets up and cuts a piece of net down. Oftentimes your team doctor gets up there and cuts one down. Your stat guy gets up there. If it's a boy sport, your cheerleaders get up there because of the role that they've played in the community and everybody involved in this. You know, everyone who played a role in the process takes a part of a celebration to where you are just one piece of this big process that took place. And I guess what really stirred me up a little bit is the Jonathan Thomas interview after the Adina game the other night was really, really cool for me to listen to. I got a chance to know JT a little bit when I coached him in the district all-star game there last year. He's a terrific athlete. People know he's an awesome baseball player as well. And, you know, he was just talking to me a little bit about how much basketball meant to him and how he's really worked at it. And it was really something, me being a basketball and baseball guy, something I kind of really listened to and got to know him, and I appreciated that. Well, you know, Jonathan's our player of the year here in the SVC this year, and congratulations on that. He was my co-player of the year as well. I think he's a terrific player. He's coming up on 1,600 points. He's the school's all-time leading scorer. I mean, he's made all league and all district. He's going to make all high, whatever. But as he was on WKKJ, and, you know, I give a shout out to Mike Smith and them. They do such a cool job of letting these kids come on and talk. And I think I really enjoy listening to that, because for people who don't know, if you've never interviewed, like, say, high school kids, it's very difficult. Yeah. It's very difficult to ask an exact question that allows them to answer you in a couple sentences. A lot of times you'll ask them a yes or no question, or you can't really give them an open-ended unless it's a kid that's a little bit more advanced in talking. So they do an amazing job. Well, they were talking to Jonathan. He was very well spoken on the radio there. And here's a senior that's accomplished so many things individually. But he was talking about how, hey, this is my senior year. And he didn't obviously go on. I'm paraphrasing here. He didn't go on to tell all the things he'd won. But I was sitting there thinking in my car, hey, here's a kid that's done all these things I just mentioned. And he was saying, I've never done that. Mm-hmm. In other words, he was saying he never won at that level. And he said, that was a really cool thing I just did. And he was talking about getting to do this with my friends and my teammates and things like that. And that's the type of thing we're taking away from kids. It was so cool for me on the Facebook response to see people who I know in girls or boys basketball, maybe won titles clear back in the 80s and 90s. still remembering, hey, I've got my piece in that this. And it generated a lot of cool discussion. And, you know, Bruce, I guess I'll ask you, you know, you're someone's, you know, really enjoyed sports for a long time in terms of watching and you've been around a lot of different types of things. I mean, was it something that maybe I was making too big a deal of, or the simplicity? I think the simplicity of what goes into this is probably the biggest thing of I'm having trouble getting my mind wrapped around.
Yeah, the I mean, you expressed your opinion here, and it seems like, I mean, I'm looking at the post right now. And, you know, you've got like 107 people that liked what you said. You had 15 people that felt strong enough about it to share it on with their friends, if you will. And you had something in the order of 30 comments or so, not one of whom had anything but positive things to say about your post. Now, granted, you tend to, you know, be friends with those that think like you, but nobody, you know, gave a good reason. And I don't understand. I mean, I am, you know, a pretty tight individual. So, but I have talked to people about this very topic since then, and they all said, you know, well, we'd all be happy to, from an economic standpoint, to pitch in or buy the nets if that were the problem. In this particular thing, a situation that you're citing, it wasn't like there was another game to get ready for. I understand that there are schools that want to keep, you know, street shoes off of their court, and you got the question about, you know, well, that means that people are going to be out on the court taking pictures and stuff like that. That can be controlled too. You can give an area, or, you know, people roped off and so forth. But in the number of these situations in which I've witnessed, it's always been a celebration of an occasion that doesn't happen very often. And I don't understand why, I'm like you, I just don't understand why they can't get a ladder and get a pair of scissors and get up there and have their moment to shine.
And that's it, I guess, there is, you said it yourself. Yeah, you know, I pride myself as an educator, as a coach, to understand, to be open-minded. And that's probably why I don't maybe go as blunt as I did here sometimes, because I do think there's a lot of things in education that people probably don't know what's going on behind the scenes, mm-hmm. or some of the different things that go in. But in this situation, that just doesn't apply. You just said it. It takes a ladder. It takes some extra nets. It takes some scissors. It takes some staff organization, some very, very basic things to allow. And I guess the reason I gave a shout out there to the Southeast District Board, first, let me say that there's some schools, Southeastern here locally, Waverly locally, Jackson, they do an amazing job in terms of allowing kids to do these things. It's very organized. I mean, goodness, these Division III host schools like Waverly, they're doing it for a 6 o'clock winner, and they've got another game coming in at 8:30. Mm-hmm. So they're doing it. That's very impressive. So it's, yeah, I mean, I'm sure people out there might have certain reasons, but I guess the reason I say to the Southeast District Board, you know, I would say make it a requirement. It's one of those things where, you know, they have the power, and I know that word scares people to death sometimes, but they have the power to say, hey, if you're going to host, this is one of our requirements. And I'll guarantee you, these people hosting are making a whole lot of money. So if that ends up being the difference between hosting or not hosting, guess what? They're going to purchase some ladders and some scissors.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know what the reason was that certain schools didn't allow it. But that's why I chose the bump music that I just played.
I still don't.
Yeah. I still don't either, because there's places where people would be happy to do that. So again, folks, that's the kind of feedback we'd like to hear. If you disagree with us, let us know. We'll keep that one until the spring if we get some information about that. That'll be good stuff to talk about in the off season here, Shane. We also had a long email that talked about the tournaments taking so long to play. Boys and girls, long layoffs, asking why, and what could we do differently? So why don't you talk about a little bit about the email and then what your thoughts are?
Yeah, that's a fair thing. It was kind of a long email, and basically the gist of it, as you said, that why does it take so long to do this? You know, these sports are already overlapping, and it even had a little baseball, softball track into it a little bit. These kids, we're trying to encourage these kids to be 2-3 sport athletes. It's becoming harder to do because of all these, you know, overlaps of how long these tournaments go. All fair questions, all things that we've had. So yes, it is, and yes, it does, I guess I should say, take a long time to play. I've heard a lot of different things, you know, officials, places to play. Gosh, if I'm being quite honest here, Bruce, Waverly seems to have a monopoly on the area. Mm-hmm. I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, you've heard me mention home sites in the sectional and how I think that could help a little bit. Yeah. Or at least spread the wealth out to some other schools, because we have some nice facilities in the Southeast. Probably what I do not know, is how long these other areas need to maybe catch up with us. Maybe it's an East District thing. Maybe it's a Central District thing. But I do know this. It happens in all sports. At Paint Valley there, we've been lucky enough to win back-to-back district titles. And when we've gone on to the regional tournament, in both incidents, we've been hanging out for 10 days waiting to play, 10, 11 days. That's a long time. I know in basketball, the Huntington girls right now won their sectional championship last Saturday, and we're here on Sunday night. We're still waiting until Monday night for Huntington to take the floor against a really good Ironton team. So now, if the answer in basketball is for the Convo, or for in baseball for the VA, that's probably a legitimate thing. Because, again, you're talking about an elite place and experience for student athletes.
Yeah.
That's a cool opportunity, something that I've had a chance to do, and I can tell you. So if it's a venue thing, it's really cool. But I guess in terms of just boys sectional or girls district, the one hiccup I would assume would be like Waverly just being overbooked. You know, think about what I just said in your opening. I was at Waverly Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. Well, Thursday night, the girls were down there. Saturday morning, the girls were there. Then the boys were back at night, and then the girls are still going to Monday. So it's just basically a time thing in terms of if we would spread that out to two or three different areas in terms of some host schools, maybe that would quicken the pace a little bit. But it's a fair argument out there. When you look at the way spring is already up against the clock, sports, it's certainly a legitimate discussion to have. Again, if the Convo is involved and the VA is involved come springtime, I can certainly understand some of those arguments. So this would be something, again, I'm very interested in talking about. I just think you'd have to have more people involved for me to educate myself on a little bit more, maybe behind the scenes decisions.
All right. Well, that'd be good discussion for feedback as well. So, well, with the week off, we look to the Convo on the boys' side, where two SVC boys teams will take the floor. And Shane breaks that down next. Well, as we kind of related to you earlier, we do have two SVC boys teams heading to Athens to the big round building. Hold a lot of hay in that place, wouldn't they? But in this case, we got basketball, and I'm sure Lou will be talking about how it's basketball 30 and everything. First one on the 28th at 2 o'clock, we've got Edina versus Fairland. Your thoughts?
It is a cool place to get to go as a high school kid. It's something I hope, you know, people will go multiple times, do not take for granted. It's a cool atmosphere, and something that when you get an opportunity to play there, you'll always remember it. You know, Edina on the Division III side there with a Fairland team that's, my understanding, is really, really young, but really, really talented. They can really score the basketball. They have some size. The Edina experience and guard play, I think, will help Coach Smith and his staff put together a game plan with the tempo that they would like to maybe try to play to get this really, really talented Fairland Dragon team under control. But, yeah, they can really score. But, you know, you look at Edina, so can they. Obviously, the Thomas kid is proven to be one of the elite scorers in the history. You heard me mention their role players. the three-point shot, when they spread you out, the free throw line. Probably Dina's biggest challenge here is just going to be on the defensive end. This is such an undersized team. They're going to have to guard the perimeter well. They're going to have to do some creative things in the paint and rebound. I know Isaac Thomas has been terrific on the board here lately, but usually what happens with him, Bruce, in every matchup I see, it because he's so out, you know, in terms of size, yeah, maybe undersized, he seems to lead to some foul trouble. I thought that was the big key in the third quarter the other night when Westfall made their run. So I would say just some things that I'm looking at as I look at this Fairland roster. I would look for Isaac's ability to stay on the floor, and then Jonathan's ability to kind of stay composed as he's been doing here of late, and really kind of playing and trusting the system and doing a lot of things. And what that's doing is it's freeing up a lot of his supporting cast. I think if they can do that and keep the tempo where they want it, they're going to have a nice opportunity to compete, because it looks like their biggest advantage is probably a little bit of their of just their age, you know, their experience. They have some more varsity games, but yeah, young or not, from everything I've been told and everything I've studied here on this Fairland team, they're very, very talented.
Well, that'll be coming up on the 28th at 2 o'clock, and then we have on the 26th, which is next Friday night at 6:15, Unioto is traveling to the east to Athens, as well as Vinton County. And we talked about this a while back in response to an email. Someone suggested that it might happen, and now it's going to happen. And I wanted to kind of, you know, I think you're in a great place to talk about this game, uniquely so, because if people don't already know it, not only are you a fan of the SVC, of which Unioto is a part, but you are brother to the head coach of Vinton County, Mr. Matt Combs. And so you've watched a lot of film on Vinton County. I think you've seen them play a couple times. And, of course, you've seen Unioto play several times. So you probably have the best shot at breaking this down than anybody. So given that, what are your thoughts for next Friday night?
Yeah, everything you just described there, Bruce, is makes a lot of sense on why, you know, people you know are asking so many questions and doing so many things. I've seen at least a part of every single game Vinton County's played, including their sectional championship win the other night against a really, really good Warren team. I know in my brother's preparation for that game, I always, you know, just try to help in whatever way I can. I probably watched, you know, 2-3 hours of Warren film throughout the week, and they're really, really good. So I know that was an impressive win. And then, you know, Coach Hoops getting his team to come back and avenge the loss to Chillicothe. And, you know, these Division II sectionals are so well earned. When you start throwing out names like Chillicothe, Courthouse, Miami Trace, Fairfield Union, Sheridan, Warren, Logan L, Meigs, to think only two teams out of both sites get to go to the combo out of that, that's pretty impressive to be in that grouping. So as far as this game, you know, the first thing that jumps out at me, I guess, is just the eye test. You know, forget all the basketball breakdown. Just look at the eye test. And I said this a while back, and I guess I still say it after, you know, just watching Unioto. You know, if you ever get a chance, or if you've had a chance, I should say, to watch Unioto from down at floor level, mm-hmm, it's really an impressive thing. I mean, this team is just simply bigger, faster, stronger. That's the first thing that jumps out at you. You know, since they've lost Cottrell, they've went, as I discussed with Coach Hoops on a recent SVC Sports Talk, they have gone to a bigger lineup. And when you look at Hosley and Wheeler and Fisher and Hill, a lot of times three of those four are on the floor at the same time. And then you throw in, you know, guards that are by no means short, yeah, Swackhammer, Kennedy, their athletic depth, their speed, those are the things. So just in the course of 32 minutes, their ability to win extra possessions because of deflections and steals, the 50-50 balls they beat you to, their ability to rebound, particularly on the offensive glass, all of those things a lot of times create even a bigger challenge, not to mention how talented they are and how efficiently they shoot the basketball. But that's probably the number one thing that jumps out to me about Unioto. Now, Vinton County being a Division II school, they've certainly been introduced to this type of athleticism throughout the year. They played into Meg's team twice, I just mentioned, who knocked Logan Elm out of the tournament. They played Logan twice. They played Warren, they played Sheridan, they've played Miami Trace, they've played Courthouse. So they're certainly battle tested. I think what's impressive about Vinton County here of late is how they figured out a way through this stretch of winning the TVC and then the sectional with all the injuries in their post position. Mm-hmm. So I had mentioned a while back that I thought Vinton County had some characteristics in terms of bench and depth, and I still think they have that, but certainly the one place they've been hit is their depth on the front line there, losing two of their post players. So that'll be just from a physicality standpoint, that will be the one of the major things to just take a look at to the average fan. We can talk more basketball is detailed as people would want to get, but to the average fan, I think that will be the biggest thing to look at. And as you get down to the combo, I guess it is going to be fun to talk about. Uniota has that advantage there. They certainly have the ability to go inside. They have the ability to score in a lot of different ways. They just have a little bit more depth of scorers, rebounders, defenders, shooters. But Vinton County does have really, really good guard play. They're going to have an opportunity again. Like I was saying with Coach Smith a little bit, whatever tempo it is that Vinton County decides in their game plan they need to go with, or maybe even a variety of tempos, I think there's enough basketball IQ, there's enough experience there to certainly get that done and without turning over the ball. And I think that'll put us in a position to see a really good basketball game. I really do.
Well, yeah, that's why we play it. So we will see come Friday night, probably about 8:15 or so. We'll see who the last team standing is there in that big game. So why don't we go now to the fast break?
Yeah, let's do that. Fast break segment is always brought to our fans, Crown Hill Golf Club. It's the first time we've heard that name here this week. Always like to give them a couple shout outs per show. They're located at U.S. Route 22. That's up just west in Williamsport there. What you do is you go up Route 104, you turn off there. It's just minutes from Route 104. Make sure when you give them a call at 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. Make sure you ask for Dave or Kevin. Tell them Shane up at svcsportszone.com sent you, and they're constantly running some great deals, and you can get that. I thought what we would do this week, Bruce, I'd play a little teacher here and maybe look at some different things as we're at the end. And let's face it, we're down to what? Goodness, almost 80-90% of our schools are onto the spring now. They're getting out the bats and the hurdles, and just a couple teams left here, and we'll start to hand out some grades maybe here in the winter. So why don't we go ahead, if you're all right with that, and go to this week's version of Fast Break.
The first grade to give out is for SVC boys basketball.
I would probably say probably about a B plus. I think I know the bottom of the league maybe had some rebuilding, but when you look at it, Piketon, Paint Valley, Southeastern, they all proved to be very, very dangerous. I know Adina, Westfall, Zane Trace, they kind of proved to be pretty elite in D3. It's kind of unfortunate the way the Southern Hills Athletic Conference was able to kind of manipulate those brackets into their favor there and force the SVC to beat up on one another. But I think what pulls us far above an average grade and gets us up to that B-plus level is that our top half has proved to be really, really good now with Adina Westfall playing a really great game and Adina off to the combo. And then obviously Uniota's so elite. They compete anywhere in Ohio. So when they're able to go out and kind of put us on the state map, if you will, I think that's what really gives our boys basketball chance a chance to maybe, on my grade book, get us up there into the high B range.
Next, how would you grade SVC girls basketball?
This is probably I think getting into the average level might be a little harsh, but I think C plus, maybe B minus would be as high as I could go. I say C plus a little bit. When I watch the Southeastern team play, they're so young that they're really, really close. So as our league champion, when you watch them in district action, when they get outside the conference, they're really, really close, and I think they're going to have a chance to really do some special things. I know the girls' league's probably saying, well, wait a minute, we're lower here, and we had one more team to the district. Again, I think I had a bit to do with the brackets. I know Huntington Piketon would say, well, hey, we had to beat up on each other too. Look, the top half of the league is certainly a four good basketball teams this year. Four teams that won, what, over 16 or more games. So there's certainly an argument there. I think the biggest thing here is where the girls stack up as you get outside of the area in terms of some of the elite. You've heard me mention the volleyball comparison. Now, I know volleyball in the other areas is not as good. So we just simply have to get a little bit better in basketball in terms of the culture. I'm not sure how that's going to happen. Club volleyball kind of has the monopoly. Basketball is kind of at its mercy right now. But, I heard Mike Smith talk the other night on their Golden Moment there about how there's been so many examples throughout history of the same gender, volleyball and then girls basketball, or girls basketball then softball, winning multiple league championships or district championships or going to the state. So it can certainly be done. I think we've just got to teach kids how to make it happen instead of using the one thing as an excuse not to be good at the other, trying to teach maybe how to be good at both.
The third grade for the winter quarter is for SVC wrestling.
Bruce, I guess honesty is my number one trade here. I'm going to go ahead and go with a pass-fail grade and say it's passing. I don't know that I've been educated enough on it to really say where it's at. It's a new process. I think an SVC Sports Zone is going to have to take its role in this, but I think it's got to get promoted better. I think we have to start to understand who are the elite wrestlers, who are the elite teams, what's the format in the tournament. I think there's so much to our area. I mean, obviously, I consider myself a pretty big sports fan, and if I'm being just completely honest here, I don't know how it sets up. I don't know exactly how to tell you who is doing what well enough to get an A, a B, a C, or whatever. So I'm going to say it's passing, and it's certainly something that I know that we have some individuals that are going to be really, really good here in the postseason. So I think that the grade that's still out there can be really, really elite, and those types of things I think can really help us maybe get educated on this a little bit and maybe promote it in our area a little bit more.
In judging the SVC fall season to the winter season, how do you feel they compare?
Oh wow! I don't know that they compare real, real well. I mean, I guess on the boys' side in the fall, Unionetta cross country and golf were so elite. Zane Trace football, Paint Valley football, Adina Westfall volleyball, both did really well. I guess as you move to the winter, we mentioned Unionetta basketball here a lot and Adina basketball. You look at the three girls teams of the district. I guess on the boys' side, it's close. You have some similarities there. On the girls, again, the basketball seems to be a little bit behind for some of the reasons we just mentioned. So I would say the boys is probably most years pretty comparable. Right now, we seem to have a girls gap, and then as we get in the spring, you'll see how elite softball is as well. So, yeah, girls basketball is one that has got to kind of get it, find a way to return to its 90s form, I like to call it, in terms of that balance.
And that is our Fast Break segment, brought to you again by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call and tell them Shane sent you. Hey, we want to remind you that even though we are going on this hiatus of a few weeks or so, we're still looking for feedback, your thoughts, your show ideas, that kind of thing. And you can reach us on Facebook, on Twitter. Email is admin1@svcsportzone.com, and you can call us and leave a message for us, 740-569-3254. Number again, 740-569-3254. We look forward to hearing from you and what you'd like to hear, what you'd like to maybe have us cover, some ideas, that kind of thing. And, of course, all these different topics we've talked about pretty much all just beg for your opinion, and we'd like to have it. Now let's kind of revisit our girls basketball. As you mentioned, we got three teams going to district. Westfall defeated by Lynchburg Clay. Southeastern lost to Fairland. And since we are recording this on Sunday, we still have Huntington playing the powerhouse Ironton Monday night as a last chance for the SVC. So thoughts on SVC girls and district action, Shane?
Yeah, well, I know last week on the show when we were doing some word association in the fast break, I want to say I used the word brutal. Uh-huh. And That's probably a fair word. I mean, the Lynchburg Clay team is phenomenal. They basically dominated the all district selections, as you'll see as those come out. And when you're able to jump out 21-5 and then 30-11 and 51-23 on that Westfall group, that gives you an idea just how good you are.
Yeah.
I will give a shout out one last time here to the classmates of Reagan Stonerock and Kelsey Robinson. They end their career in the top 50 together. 49th and 44th respectively in the history of SVC. I just think, again, I can't get over how incredible. I hope SVC fans understand what I've been saying here when I explain that that's only the second time that's ever happened in the history of our conference. I mean, the game of basketball is played with one ball. So when you are willing to share it to that point to kind of make the team success the main priority, that's a pretty cool thing. So congratulations to those two young ladies. They've certainly put Westfall basketball right there on the map over the last 4 years. And then what's kind of cool about it is it's like they're passing that torch right on. As you know, we mentioned this a couple weeks back, a Southeastern went ahead in the standings and kind of went from there to win the title. They played a really good Fairland team, and they were right there all night. Down one going into the fourth and just couldn't quite get enough scoring. You know, you look Southeastern gets beat 56-50 and Skeens and Wheeler go for 43 together. So that tells you just do some simple math there. It tells you they didn't quite get enough scoring punch from some of the supporting cast. And you know, Bruce, I think that's what will happen with the experience. I think they're young enough to where a lot of these other younger kids will grow from this and they'll start to learn the game speed. You know, when you get to that district level, the speed of the game just kind of picks up a little bit to another level, especially when you start playing the Fairlands and the Irontons and the Lynchburg Clays and the Alexanders and Wheelersburgs and the teams that just seem like, you know, they're there every year because they are. Mm-hmm. That's what will happen. So I think, you know, I've heard some good things about some of their junior high kids, some little league kids there. And again, I think as far as our whole league getting onto that level like we were in the 90s, we just got to figure out a way to because you certainly don't. I love the sport of volleyball. I love what's happening. But I also know that it's very difficult for kids to balance something as strenuous as club volleyball during the basketball season, during their softball season. So it's a challenge. It's something that we'll have to take a look at. And then best of luck to Huntington. By the time people are listening to this, the we'll most likely know those results. You'll be able to check them out there on the website. The Ironton team's a top 10 team. They're undefeated. Most in their brackets have them representing the Southeast there in the state tournament. So that'll be a challenge for Huntington. We'll see how that goes there. But that's kind of where we're at on the girls' side. So again, a trio making it to the district level, and hopefully that's something for our conference to build on.
Good luck to the Huntington team tomorrow night, or it will be played by the time this is published, obviously. Our final segment throughout basketball season, we call it the post-game comments, and it's brought to you also by Crown Hill Golf Club, and we encourage you to check out their website at crownhillgolfclub.com. And of course, anytime you visit the golf course or you give them a call, you got to tell them that SVC Sports Zone sent you. So let's get into our post-game segment. We got a couple questions here. February 22nd, the day on which this podcast will be published, we'll start baseball and softball practice. So this has got to be a fun time of year. Everyone's starting with a clean slate. Hopes are high. Your thoughts, Coach Combs?
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting. It's that overlap. Yeah, I always say around tournament time, when you get the weather, the temperature like it is this weekend, you start to get this feel. And it is a challenge for baseball, softball coaches, track coaches. If the weather is not cooperating, you really do have to learn how to pace yourself, because if you run into the wrong weather pattern and you get going all hardcore over the next 2-3 weeks and it's all inside, you have to have some creative scheduling or you can get some kids not falling in love with the sport very much after so many 2-hour practices in some of these little gyms that we have. But, you know, for me, just as a sports fan for a minute, Bruce, I guess I would challenge people to think about how incredible this next 4-5 week stretch is. It's probably the greatest 4-5 week stretch in really we have in sports. It's a situation where here we are in high school tournament. You have the March Madness right around the corner.
Yeah.
Baseball getting started, getting warm enough to go out and play a little golf. You have the Masters right around the corner for golf fans. Reds opening day coming. So even as a Reds fan, even the Reds are allowed to be optimistic in spring training. So it's a great time. If you like a variety of sports or if you're just a basketball junkie only, there's certainly enough basketball to keep you busy. But if you like to get involved in a lot of different things, there's certainly a lot going on here. It's just kind of a cool time. Anytime you know baseball gets going there, those are just some of the things that kind of seem to start overlapping and you think about.
Hope springs eternal. It certainly does. And when we talk about baseball and softball getting started and so forth. One of the kind of thoughts here that we have had is the coverage of baseball and softball. It's still behind the coverage of fall and winter sports. And so we're kind of asking the question, why is this and what can we do to better cover the sports or these sports?
The why part's easy. It's the what can we do better that becomes really, really tricky.
Yep.
And let me explain why. First of all, the why part's a really, really simple answer. You know, you're dealing with a sport in Ohio that's played at 5 o'clock. You're playing it in weather that is completely brutal here early on. Weather's obviously very unpredictable. So when you start talking about 5 o'clock, I mean, your radio stations, a lot of different media, their news advertisement block is right in the heart of, I would assume, 4:30 to 6 o'clock, yeah, somewhere in that rush hour. You know, there's a lot of different things. You're just not going to get media to buy into a bunch of 5 o'clock stuff. And you can't blame them. Those are the obvious roadblocks in terms of why it's such a challenge to maybe get a little bit more radio coverage, to get the ultimate newspaper, some of the different things that you'd like to get. Now, what can we do better? This is probably where coaches are a little bit equally at fault. And what I mean by that is, they're a little bit reluctant, and I'm very respectful of this because I think every coach has the right to do whatever. They like to protect that home field. So a lot of times, giving up a – say you're going to move – obviously to move a game to 7:30, you're going to have to move it somewhere with light. So yeah. Let's say the VA's really been trying to get involved. I know the VA's kind of been pushing for an SVC Friday night type of thing, mm-hmm. and where they've been trying to partner up and see, hey, would KKJ be willing to do some different things? Maybe not, that this could lead to some different things in terms of doing some softball, doing some baseball. And maybe that would lead then to a little bit more of getting some kids on the radio, getting some coaches speaking out. Maybe we'd become more familiar. It's a shame the level of baseball and softball we play in the SVC. It's just kind of what I mentioned with wrestling earlier. What we haven't done well enough is just educate our sports fans on who these kids are. I mean, we have some really, really elite players in baseball, softball. It takes a back seat to no sport in the SVC. Mm-hmm. There's just two sports that are as good as anything. So those are some of the challenges that are out there, because when you start to move places and you move times, you certainly do have to. Someone obviously has to give up their home field, mm-hmm. to do that. But I'll say this, I just mentioned in that first answer of our post game here, Bruce, once that Super Bowl's over, basketball kind of takes center stage and they kind of go through their media moment, if you will. So it's a situation where, and it's something, we've mentioned in our scheduling of SVC Sports Talk that we want to try to do, is even though I do want to do more fall coverage, more winter coverage, we certainly don't want to cheat the spring, because I think that's one thing that our website does. It's very unique to any other media market, is how much we try to cover. And I know we're going to try to pick up the audio this year in our baseball. We're going to try to get a lot more names mentioned, and we're going to try to do some different things to really try to promote. I'm going to try my best to get track involved a little bit more, and then softball as well. I just think that those are some of the reasons we're struggling, and boy, the answers to what we can do better are really, really tough, because there's certain things such as daylight and darkness and weather and certain things that you just don't have control over.
Well, we'll see what we can do. And again, that's another idea that you might have out there and the listenership that we'd like to hear about. So you can get a hold of us in any of those four ways that we mentioned earlier, and you can go back and rewind if you'd like to hear those all over again. So, Shane, that's going to put a wrapper on episode 152 and our winter coverage. Yeah, it has been fun. It's been we've had some exciting things to talk about.
Yeah, I do want to give a shout out real quick, Bruce. Certainly don't want to. You heard me mention last week, C&K Athletic Equipment. Yeah. They're on board with us now, and they're on the scoreboard pages, and they'll be far more involved as we get into our spring coverages because they highlight baseball and softball so much. Mm-hmm. But do want to give a shout out to them. Appreciate them so much, and you'll see me highlight them far more in our baseball softball shows.
Okay, and as far as when we're coming back, we don't exactly know, but I'm sure if you watch the SBCSportsZone.com website, that'll be the best indication. We'll kind of maybe tease you a little bit once we decide what our plans are and so forth.
I want to talk to some spring coaches, and I want to try to maximize those 4, 5, 6 times that we're going to get on the air as best possible.
Okay. Well, that's straight from the horse's mouth, so you can take that to the bank and watch the website, and that'll be the best idea of when we're coming back. If you subscribe to us on a podcatcher, of course, you'll be able to have that check for the next podcast when it does come out. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, all of our other sponsors on the website, for everyone here at DBK helping me, and, of course, for Shane Combs, this is Bruce Knox reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.